We're going into 2 Timothy chapter number 2 this morning, and we've been looking at the divine design just with respect to what it means to be what the man and the woman. Last Sunday we looked particularly at that of a husband and a wife, and so much there. There's so much more we could look at, and we just trust that at least it will maybe ignite some fire in you to look in even deeper. And just to make sure that we're walking in obedience to God's word and walking according to his precepts, and that, you know, we're not being set, our course isn't being set by the world. There is so much that there is an attack on the family and what it is to be a true man. And that's really what brought us here in our study, just looking at the men and what society is saying even recently with respect to masculinity and what that is and how that's defined and the attack that's being on that. And it's not that we just want to scream at the world and say that their methods are wrong. It's that we want to make sure that we are not just saying don't do this, but walk in obedience to this. And so this morning I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter number 2. That will be our launching point. And I'm just going to read 7 verses there, but we're also going to be bouncing back and forth from there. And eventually we're going to end up in the book of Colossians. And so we may just kind of put a bookmark here in 2 Timothy, and then we'll go Colossians chapter number 1 and just kind of bounce back and forth between those two passages. But let's read this morning. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me from among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." That is our topic this morning. Just those first few words there here that the Apostle Paul has given to his son Timothy, son in the faith. He just says this: be strong. Amen. Be strong. Now, that picture this morning that you're looking at, I'm sorry, it's for all the two cat lovers we might have in the house. But hopefully by the time I get done, you'll see that what the meaning behind that is. And it's just simply this, that when we talk about being strong, how do we define that? What does that look like? What does it mean when the Apostle Paul is instructing Timothy to be strong? I don't want to belabor this or go too long into this. Most of us are familiar with this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. I know it has a great significance in my life. I go there often here in 2 Timothy because it is such a very direct instruction that the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy. I don't want to say, you know, what kind of state Timothy was in when he received this letter. I've read, you know, references in different ones that basically make Timothy out to be some little weakling that's just ready to just cave in at any moment. I don't know. I don't have enough to say that, but I think Timothy is just like many of us can be and have been in our life, and it's just this, that there can be times when we just need encouragement, that we just need someone to tell us to be strong, that we need someone to remind us who we are in Christ Jesus, that we can, you know, so often feel like the little cat there, and in reality, it's going to be more like what is inside of us. It's what the strength that we have this morning when we talk about being strong in the Lord, we want to understand that is not of our own strength. That we're not encouraging you just to kind of, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps and do the best you can and hold on. I love that verse that we, in that song we were reading there or singing this morning in Pass Me Not, that verse number 3, and it says this: trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. I love that because it reminds me that I will never will I come to God in my own merit and say, God, it's because of who I am and what I have done that I am even worthy to come into thy presence. I mean, it's not because of that. It's because we have always, when we come into the presence of God, when we come to God in prayer, we're coming because of the merit of Jesus Christ. We're coming because we're clothed in his righteousness, that we've been covered by the precious blood and our sins have been washed away. And it's only through Christ that we have that this morning. Amen. Never do we come to God and say, well, God, I've done this, I've done that this week, and so I'm worthy to be coming into your presence. Amen. We come into the presence of a living God because having therefore boldness to come into the most holy place through the blood, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sprinkling that's been covered, our sins have been washed away this morning. Amen. But even with that said, you know, that is the doctrine of the scripture. That's what the gospel message is that we can come into the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. When we think about Jesus having died and resurrected, and now through him we have life, that's really the foundation. But even the gospel and its, you know, its theological foundations, it's ethical even in its implications, in that it lives itself out through us in our life, and how that we are to walk and how that we are to live in obedience, that the fruit that is produced in our lives, not by human effort, but it is because of what dwells on the inside of us. That we're not talking about this morning, you just doing a little bit better, as often we have said, but we're talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory this morning. And so Paul tells Timothy, he says, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you will never get away from that. You will never get away from the fact that your strength is in through the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, Timothy was given this leadership there in the church in Ephesus. And if you can look back through the book of Acts and you can find the setting here and even what he told Timothy there earlier on in his first letter to Timothy, back in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, just a couple verses there. He says in verse 3, and this is just for our clarity this morning, says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So he says, I left you here, Timothy, because I wanted you to charge some. Now, when you give a charge, you're demanding or you're declaring something. It is a continuous instruction. Amen. It's a continuous instruction. That's why I said this morning that so often we just need reminding, don't we? Amen. We need reminding what the Word of God says. I come into the church sometimes, and even there are times when Marion or someone will get up and read the Scripture, and it may be a Scripture that I haven't read in a long time, and it just brings it back to my remembrance, and I'll be like, wow, that's in there. Amen. That's the Word of God. That's the Word that is there for our foundation. But as Marion said this morning, it's not just us learning some facts, learning the information, and then applying the information. There is a power within us through the blood of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, that gives us the strength to walk according to his precepts. Even back in the Old Testament scriptures, when he talks about this new and living way, this new covenant, he says that he's going to place his precepts and his laws in our hearts and in our minds, that we would walk according to his word. But I'm like you, and that I often need reminding of these things. And there are times when, you know, if you've ever done gardening, I'm not a great gardener, but I do know that weeds seem to really just spring up overnight, don't they? Weeds just come up. You don't plant them. I didn't plant them. I got wild grass in my yard. I didn't plant it. It just kind of come up. And it grows a whole lot faster than the good grass. And so sometimes, you know, as a preacher, you marvel how quick people will grab a hold of something that's false. And when you've been preaching truth for so long, and then they'll just grab a lie and run with it. Amen. We don't want to do that, do we? We want to charge others, as he said, not giving heed to fables. We don't need to come up with these crazy ideas, these crazy fables, and say, well, that's what it means to be a Christian. We've got all these great mysteries that you got to decipher this and that, and this equals that, and that equals that. Don't give room to that. Amen. But we just want godly edifying. We want the Word of God that builds up. We don't want weeds. We want good crops to take root. And really, that does take time. And back over there, when Timothy's talking to, when Paul's talking to Timothy there in our main text this morning, as he said, you know, I want you to be strong in the Lord, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you heard from me among many witnesses, which basically is just adding strength to what the apostle Paul was saying to Timothy. He says, now, Timothy, I didn't pull you off to the side. And I didn't whisper something in your ear because I was afraid someone else might get a hold of it and attack it and tear it down. He says, I said this among many witnesses, openly declared it. And he says, that very same thing that I've declared unto you, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Amen. And that's our desire this morning as a church, that we teach, particularly here, he's talking to a young man, Timothy. And I want to talk to our young men as well, but I don't want to just leave it with that. We want to, obviously, we want to consider our young ladies as well, that we want to hold on to this truth that's in Christ Jesus. He says, be strong. That's Paul's message to young Timothy. Be strong. Now, as we've looked at this 2 Timothy many times, it is believed that this is the Apostle Paul's last letter. And from here on, you know, we can, if you get to the last of the chapter there, I guess it's there when he talks about fighting the good fight, but for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So, you know, that it's believed that this is the Apostle Paul's last letter written, and he says, I fought a good fight. I mean, because I finished my course. I finished what the Lord has placed in my life to do. He says, I'm ready. The time of my departure is, I am now ready to be offered. And he says, Timothy, I want to pass it on to you. And really, that's the elders in the church, the elders in the church, that's our job, isn't it? To pass on the truth to the next generation. Amen. To pass on through the word of God to those next people that will be taking the baton. And really, that's what the Apostle Paul is doing here with Timothy. Ephesians 6 and 10 says it this way, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 1 Corinthians 6 and 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. And here it is, quit you like men. Be strong. And as I read that verse and I thought about, you know, the attack on what it means to be a man or what the world may see being a man is, and that word, quit ye like men, we don't really use that phrase, but we do say things of be a man, be strong and be a man. And so, It's really the same word that Joshua had received from the Lord there when, you know, he was to take over the leadership of Israel and those that were entering into the promised land. And the Lord spoke to him and said, be strong and of good courage. Be strong, Joshua. It's the same words that David gave to his son Solomon there as he was building the temple. He told him, said, be strong and courageous. That's the instruction. Now, it's not going to be enough for us this morning just to say that. Just be strong. You know, you might need a little more than that. What is it when you say be strong? How and what does that look like when you talk about being a man? Quit ye like men, or stand up and be a man. Are you referencing, you know, we are to be ready to fight? Are you referencing our physical strength or our stature? Or what is it that that looks like? And so that's what we want to do this morning. We want to see how the Bible paints this picture of what it means to be a man. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. There's a lot in this one verse. And then we're going to end up over there in Colossians 1, like I had mentioned. But look at 1 Corinthians 14. And it says this, verse number 20. It says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. Amen. Now, what comes to mind this morning as we read those words, the Apostle Paul saying, be not children in understanding or in our understanding of what we know, but howbeit in malice, he says, be children. Now, I think of what the words of Jesus when he was teaching there, when he gave that instruction talking about the kingdom of God and what it was and what it meant to enter into the kingdom. And he says this over in Matthew 18:3, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child or little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. And so maybe the Apostle Paul, through the leading of the Spirit of God, when he's talking about in malice be ye children, he may have had that in mind. He had those teachings in mind when he talked about coming into the kingdom of God. It's not that we come in anger, and it's like we talked about last week, that of meekness. It's the meek that shall inherit the earth and what it means to be meek. It's not that we come in pride and haughtiness. But he says, in malice, I want you to be children. But in understanding, be men. When it comes to our understanding, he says, I want you to be of ripe age. I want you to be full grown. I want you to really to live like those whose understandings are mature and ripe, that we're not like children, as Paul says in another place, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's our desire this morning for everyone in here, every believer that's in this place. It's our desire that we, in our understanding, that we be full grown, that we be adults, that what it is to be a full understanding. Paul or David says it this way in the Psalms. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Amen. Thy testimonies are thy meditation. So with this instruction this morning of being strong, first we understand it this way, that we're strong by meditating upon this precious word of God. I mean, that we gained our strength by looking into his precious word. And as the Spirit of God that was demonstrated there in the book of Acts, when, as Marion had mentioned a while ago, that, you know, they had received all this instruction, and so often they would forget it. But then the Bible talks about how that the Spirit would remind them, that the Spirit of God would move in their life and remind them of the words that he has said, and it would strengthen them and it would help them to endure and go through any hardship. I read this week, and I wrote it down because I liked it, and I might try to remember it. It says this: neither aspiration nor perspiration nor determination will be adequate for the challenge. What is required is inspiration. And what does that mean? Not inspired in the sense that we're moved with some type of emotion, but really the in-breathing or the inspiration of the power of God, the divine enabling that comes from above. It's not, as I heard someone put it this way, it's not like we're this human cannonball that just gets this big surge of power and we're just fired out there into space, and then eventually we kind of figure out we're out there on our own. But this enabling of the Spirit of God is something that we carry with it all of our life. And the biblical picture is more like one of a steady and really an enduring or an endeavoring power that is sufficient for the journey. That the Spirit of God is sufficient for the journey. That God doesn't just put us out here and say, okay, I've started you out now. You just do the best you can. Just kind of hold on and, you know, and endure. But that's not our experience, is it? And we have learned that the power of the living God gives us strength for the journey, that God is ever present. Now, let's go to Colossians 1. Now, we're talking about being strong in the Lord. Let's look at these few verses here in Colossians chapter number 1, and we're going to see what it means. First off, he says in verse 10, Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. That's a mouthful, I know. But when we're talking about being strong, and we want to, particularly to our men this morning, quit ye like men, or be a man. What is that? What is he talking about? What does that look like? Or is it that we are the ones that do all the grilling in the house? We're the ones that, is that what being a man is? I got to admit, I was pretty late in life where I learned how to grill. Shell used to do all that, and finally one day she said, "Okay, it's your turn to learn," and so I had to learn to do that, and it took a long time. But I tell them all the time, it's easy at my house because they like everything burnt up. So they think I'm the best griller in the world, but really I go over to Tom's, and Bill, he grills up a burger, and it's just perfect because you got to get it off at the right time, and it's got the right amount of red in it, the right amount of juices. And in my family, you just burn it up until, you just feel like taking it off, and don't matter how red it is, they don't want any red. And I just kind of, deal with it either way. I'd rather have just a little bit of pink, but if it's burnt up, I'll eat that too. I'm not going to put it to the side. But is that what being a man is, being able to make a good steak or a hamburger? Or does it mean that we hit the gym and we work out until we get these, the 18-inch biceps and walk around, and then we can say, okay, now I'm a man? Is that what it means? That is not what is painted here. We're not talking about brute strength. We're not talking about our stature in the sense of how big we are. I always love that story in the scripture when it talks about David, when God was when God sent the prophet Samuel into the house of Jesse to pick out the next king of Israel. And I just love it how it's painted there, and I've heard others preach it, and how that the Jesse began to bring out all his sons before the prophet, and each one would walk by, and Samuel would see the prophet, and he'd be like, yeah, that's got to be the next king. He's big. He's got, he's a big-chested guy. It's got to be him. And God would say, no, Samuel, that's not him. I didn't choose him. I've refused him. And the next one would come by, and then the next one, and so on, until all seven of the older brothers of David had walked in and passed Samuel, and each one God had spoken to him, said, no, that's not the one. And so Samuel's probably like, well, Jesse, is that all you have? Well, yeah, I've got one more son, but he's just a little lad, and he's out there in the field keeping the sheep. And he said, well, go get him. And so, the story, how that they bring David there, and the Bible says that the oil began to flow. And why? Because that was the one that God had called to lead the nation Israel and to bring them into one of the most prosperous times of their history. Amen. This little lad out there keeping the sheep. But then we'll finally learn that while he was out there keeping the sheep, he had learned that his strength had not come because of his size. His strength had not come because of his ability, but he had learned that there was an anointing that had come upon him when the bear would come out or the lion would come out, and there was anointing that would come upon him and would give him the victory and would cause him to conquer that lion or that bear. Amen. He had learned it so much so that when there was this huge giant that was out there in the middle of that valley calling out for someone to fight, and that David heard it, and all his big brothers had heard it as well, and they were cowered in the tent. And David would say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of God? And you know how that he went out there in the anointing and power of God and slew that giant. Why? Because he knew where his strength lied. Amen. Now, let me give that to us here in 2019, that there is no difference in our strength. Our strength is not based on our ability, but it's just like Zechariah the prophet said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. And that's to our young men and to our young ladies this morning, is that our strength comes not of our own ability, but it's Christ in you. Amen. That's how we are strong. We're strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't demonstrate that strength by ready to fight at the drop of a hat. That's not the gospel. Amen. When we come up with this idea, and I had someone tell me this week, and my mouth just dropped open, because I mean this guy's, you know, he does some preaching and so on. He told me, he said, I probably shouldn't tell this because he liable hear this on the internet, but I'll tell anyway. I won't give his name. How's that? He told me, he says that, you know, he wonders sometimes if maybe, because we were talking about the situations that's going on, particularly in Virginia and all over the country. And he says, you know, sometimes I wonder if God just isn't calling us to put together an army and fight against the enemy like he did in the Old Testament. And I looked at him, I said, no, you have missed it. You have totally missed the gospel, because we are like farmers. Now, we're soldiers in the sense that we're fighting the army of God, but our weapons are not carnal. God has not called us to take up a weapon and fight. Amen. In the sense that we're to fight the world, there's one thing the world knows, is they know how to fight. And we'll be no different. I know it's challenging. It's challenging for me sometimes because, you know, I like to listen to those people on the radio that can really just shut them up. I like those guys that are really smart. I like to listen to, what's his name, Shapiro, because that dude is just sharp. I mean, he's smart and he's just got the answer. And you know, different ones that just can, they can respond to those crazy liberals. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to get political this morning, but they just got the right tongue and they can just say it. And I told you before, you know, I've listened to Jordan Peterson, and that dude is so smart. And then I listen to those people and I think, oh man, look how they can just silence them. But they don't silence them. They just fight. The other side fights and they fight. That's not what we're called to do. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ is called to serve. As Marion read that passage last Sunday, he's been speaking to me all week, that we are not to fret ourselves because of evildoers, but we're just to trust the Lord and continue to serve. Continue to minister. Continue to reach out to the lost. Continue to preach the gospel. Paul says here, he says, my desire is that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What is our mission this morning as men? First, men and ladies alike, it is our mission to please the Lord. And that goes back to 2 Timothy, where he talks about those that are called to be soldiers, that it is our desire as soldiers. Let's read it there. And back in 2 Timothy, I told you to put a bookmark there and I didn't do it. But look in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 again, and he says this: no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And there it is. That's this thread of what it means to be a man. It's that our desire is to please the one that called us. You're not just placed here just to take up time and space. God hasn't just brought you to this generation and to this day just to kind of get by and get through. You're put here to please God. That's a full-time job. Now, it's not like, you know, I'm saying God's all demanding, but I'm talking about in every aspect of our life. Everything, there is no secular side of our life and some consecrated side. It's all together. And it's all things that we do it as unto the Lord. Amen. You can't have this, you know, part on Sunday morning and say, well, that's consecrated to God. That's my time. And then, you know, Monday through Friday or Saturday, that's mine. I might give him a little bit Saturday. We'll see how it works out. And Wednesday night, you know, if everything's good, then, you know, I was listening to a song this week and someone was singing a song about, you know, the build my mansion on the hillside. I just want it next door to Jesus. And I heard another song about the people singing about, you know, I don't care about streets of gold. I don't care about walls of jasper. I just want to see Jesus. And I was listening to that and I was like, do we really believe that? Do we really think that, you know, well, down here, there's a whole lot of other stuff that gets my attention. And Jesus kind of put him in, you know, when I can work it in. Do we really think, you know, we just get to heaven all of a sudden, that's all going to be our main, we just want to see Jesus? Well, how about right now? I mean, how about we say, let's forget all the stuff and let's focus our life on pleasing the one that's called us to be a soldier. And that's what he says. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So God, help us to be fruitful. In our earlier lives, the Bible talks about this fruitless living that we were so much a part of, that our lives didn't bring forth fruit. But now, in Christ Jesus, we are called to bring forth fruit. And so Paul says it this way, being fruitful in every good work. God, make us fruitful in every good work. Men, ladies alike, God has called us to be fruitful. I love where Jesus talks there about that fruit, the fruit that comes from the Spirit of God, not of our own making, not of our own perspiration, if you will, or our own determination, but by the inspiration of the power of God, the fruit of the Spirit working through us. He says, it's my desire, because you want to please the Lord, that you be in fruitful in every good work. Be fruitful. God, help us to be fruitful. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. That really speaks of sort of a process, doesn't it? I know I've said it before. I just waited on God just to pour all the knowledge in. I just knew one day I was going to wake up and it was all going to be there. Just dump it in. It's like a cup. I had people praying over me, you're going to have great wisdom in the Lord. I'm like, oh, hope that happens tomorrow morning. I'd wake up tomorrow morning and be like, not much has changed. And I'd wake up the next morning, where's this wisdom at, God? And the next morning, until finally it dawned on me that there was an increasing knowledge. There was an increasing wisdom that was going to come when we apply ourselves to the work of God and to the study of God's word. You know, there's many that will stand up behind a pulpit this morning that have not increased in knowledge. I mean, they're just kind of going through and thinking, well, you know, no, we want to grow. Even, I was reading this week there in Luke, talking about particularly John and even Jesus. And it talked about John particularly, it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. So we're talking about where Jesus said, according to the flesh or John, that there was none greater than John the Baptist. And now, even from there, Luke would go on to talk about Jesus Christ and talk about the child. It says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So here we have John, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the Elijah that should come. And then we have Jesus, the Son of the living God, both growing in grace and knowledge, waxing strong. So I read that and I'm like, God, how much do I need to grow? Lord, help me to grow strong. I mean, even the Apostle Paul, getting into the last days, he says that I might know him. God, I want to know you. That's our prayer this morning, that we might know the Lord. Amen. That we might know the Lord. I know I shared with you before there when I had changed how I was praying at these basketball games when I stood there during the national anthem. I referee basketball, and so during the high school games, I'd stand there and I'd give a word of prayer. Of course, my main prayer was always that, Lord, don't let me mess this up, you know, just because I'm refereeing, I'm blowing my whistle. So that was my prayer. Lord, don't let me mess the game up. Pray that, you know, nobody kills me when I leave here. And so, you know, that was sort of my priority. Well, at some point I changed it and I decided, you know what I need to do? I need to start praying for these schools. I need to start praying for these young people and young ladies and young men that stood there on the sidelines. And so I've kind of developed my prayer over time, just thinking about, God, how would you have me to pray for these young people? And I would pray for the unbelievers, God, for those that don't know you, Lord, that they would hear your word and surrender their lives to this glorious gospel. And then for those that, and praying that there might be some that do know you, that they might grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that was the way I was praying. God, help them to grow in the knowledge of you. That we don't just start out this work for God and say, okay, I've marked that off my list, now I'm just going to cruise on in. But Lord, we want to grow. Peter says it this way, as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowledge of God through the word of God. it really engages our minds and stirs our hearts, can transform our lives by the Word of God, ignited by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God inside of us. So he says this, because I want you to bring forth fruit. I want you to grow in the knowledge of God. And there it is in verse 11 of Colossians 3. And he says, I want you to be strengthened with all might. Strengthened with all might. That we would discover God's provision of power by the Holy Ghost. That we would be like the word that came unto Zechariah. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. It says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto what? Here it is, men. We want to talk about what a man, a Bible man, looks like. Here it is. Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Amen. Not malice. In malice, be like children. But be strong in patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. Does that sound like the idea of what the world would say a man is to be? Amen. God, help us to be patient by your Spirit. God, help us to be long-suffering. Lord, let the joy of the Lord be in our hearts and in our lives, God, that we would be able to demonstrate that the truth. And when you think about patience, you know, what comes to mind is that of an endurance. You know, and that's really what patience is. You know, when we think about being patient, it means you're willing to stay under something. Now, I know that kind of goes against our grain a lot of times, especially in Pentecostalism. We like miracles. We like divine manifestations. We want to see healings. And I'm all for that. God, send a healing, you know. Lord, just miraculously touch that one. But you know what? Sometimes that doesn't come. But let's not underestimate the grace and power of God to get us through the storm, to help us to endure. I want us to pray that way for Brother Steve this morning. God, give him the endurance. God, give him patience that he not lose heart in this struggle that he's going through, this physical condition that he's facing right now. You know, we would ask God to heal, that this, Lord, give him a new heart. God, if that's not your will, we just pray for patience. Because the power of God is able to keep us even in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a hardship, in the midst of a battle, that we are able to receive endurance. Look what Paul says back in 2 Timothy again. And he says it this way in chapter 2 that we were reading there earlier. How did he instruct him? He said, endure hardness. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See, I would be in error this morning if I stood up here and just taught divine healing, that God's just going to heal everything that comes into your life. He's going to get rid of every hardship. Nah, that would be an error. But I could say God is able to heal. And we ask God for a healing. We ask God for a touch. The Apostle Paul was not wrong when he went to God and asked him to remove that thorn in his flesh. But what was the answer? My grace is sufficient because my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so our prayer this morning for every one of us here, that we know, those of us that have served God for so many years, young people, we know that there's going to be some hardship in your life. We know that. There's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some hurts. They're not all going to be taken away. That would probably be, you know, it'd be my desire for you to just, but God knows best. God's ways are not our ways. And the reality is it wouldn't be good for you. But it is our prayer that you would endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that you would be strengthened with all might, that you would learn, as the Apostle Paul did as well, that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. I know I'm not the only one that would testify this morning, but every one of us sitting here that's been serving God for any length of time, myself included, that you truly learn that God is a present help in time of trouble in the midst of a struggle. That's when you learn that. Amen. When the problem doesn't go away. When you continue in the struggle, it's then you find God faithful. I've never heard a saint say, right in the midst of my struggle, God just left me. But I do hear him say, in the midst of my struggle, that's when I found him to be real. That's when all the reading and all the singing and all the praising that I did for all my life really come to fruition. When I found that God was faithful in the midst of the fire. Amen. You will find that. Amen. You will find that to be true, that God will be a very present help in times of trouble. Look at verse 12 of Colossians 1. We're wrapping it up here. Colossians 1, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So what's another mark of this, that of being strong? It's this, it's a life of thanksgiving. Amen. God is pleased when all our days and all our duties, all that we have to go through, are marked with gratitude. Amen. How many knows we all need reminding of that? Lord, don't let me get caught up in all the griping and complaining of the world. It's easy to do. Lord, don't let me be caught up in all the I deserve, I should be. God, whatsoever state I'm in, help me to learn to be content. You know, you can think, well, reading the, even in Romans 1 there, when it talks about those that knew God yet thought it, didn't retain God in their knowledge, but it talks about neither were they thankful. See, thanksgiving is not just a little side thing that we ought to be, just a good idea to be thankful. Even Paul, in writings to Timothy, and with respect to the last days, talking about those that would be unthankful. So thanksgiving is just not something that we ought to be, but really it's a distinguishing mark of the redeemed of Jesus Christ. Unthankfulness is a mark of an unbeliever. Thankfulness is the mark of those that have been redeemed. You mean why? Because we, as Paul says here, I like the way he puts it, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's a mouthful. When was the last time you said that? How's your day? Doing good. Because I've been made fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Somebody look at you. I had a guy the other day look at me. I listened to this guy on the radio. I can't remember his name. Y'all might know his name if I say this. But he always, somebody, it's a call-in. It's a Christian call-in radio station. And he always responds the same way. Somebody asks him, how you doing? He always say, better than I deserve. Anybody ever heard that? I can't remember who it is. Like maybe Dennis Rainey or something. I don't remember. But and so I like that. And so the other day I was walking through work. It's been a while now, but I was walking through the middle shop there, and some guy looked at me and says, hey, Keith, how you doing? I looked at him and said, better than I deserve. He said, what? He dropped what he was doing. And he's like, what? Of course, then he had me intimidated. I was like, better than I deserve? I'm like, what did I just say? And he's like, okay. I mean, he was just like so taken back by that. And I'm like, what? And I can see why, because people are going to be, oh, how you doing? It's all right. No, I'm better than I deserve. Why? I'm rejoicing. I'm thankful because he has made me meet, or he has made me fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So next time somebody asks you, there's your mouthful right there. Next time at work, somebody, Leanne, they go by in the bank. How you doing, Leanne? Well, I'm doing good because he has made me fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. See what kind of response you get there. Why? Because that's the only way. How are we fit? Only through Jesus Christ. It's not of ourselves, at least any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Praise the Lord, that we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we are truly doing better than we deserve. Let me finish that out there in 13 and 14, and we're going to read a passage together and we'll be done. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. I love this. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Amen. Isn't that wonderful to know this morning? That we have been translated unto the kingdom of his dear Son. That we're not, we're even in the midst of our job or wherever we might be, that we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is our desire that we would please the Lord. All of our desires, our decisions, our aspirations, and everything, our affections, to be governed to please God. That's our desire. God, help us to please you. As we close this morning, I want us to turn together. And I was reading this passage this week, and I think it's a good way for us to end this morning. It's over in Hebrews chapter number 11. And as I was talking about prayer and how we ought to pray, Hebrews 11, I think it's what I wanted to go to. Let's see. No, I'm sorry. No, the very last chapter of Hebrews, that's where I want. Hebrews, which makes sense because it's sort of Paul's final words here. And it, Hebrews 13, starting with verse number 20 there. And if it's all right, can we read these words together here out loud? I'll start, and y'all just kind of join in if you can. Hebrews 13, verse 20, and it says this: Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. What words to leave with each of us this morning? That's our prayer. That's how we pray one for another. That's how we pray for our young people. That's how we pray for those that we come in contact with. That God, that make you perfect through the blood of the everlasting covenant in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a good passage to commit to memory there, isn't it? Amen. And it's a good way to pray. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. God, we thank you for that as we've read here in your wonderful word, that you have truly made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. God, we are so thankful for that this morning, to know, God, what we have in you, God, only through you. And God, as we leave this place this morning, God, we pray that your word would be in our hearts and in our minds, God. God, empowered by your Holy Spirit, God, that we would be like, Lord, a light in the dark place. God, that we would be fruitful in every good work, Lord, doing your will, God, that is our desire, well-pleasing in our sight. God, it is our desire that our lives would please you. God, we pray that for each and every one here this morning, for our young people alike, Lord, no matter, Lord, what they might come in contact with, God, no matter what they see, Lord, in their days ahead, God, that they would know that you are faithful, Lord, and that they can trust you. And God, their desire would be to please you with their life. We thank you for it, God. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray for you. If you